You know, it's not news that the Amazon rainforest is being logged, burned, and mined. About 25,000 acres of unique, species-rich rainforest are destroyed every year. But now human civilization is making its presence even more widely felt. In a study published in Nature, researchers describe rapid changes in the trees populating the undisturbed rainforest. They suggest that carbon dioxide, CO2, a greenhouse gas, may be encouraging the growth of some trees at the expense of others. You know, we always thought, well, maybe if there's too much CO2, maybe it's causing a good thing. Maybe the trees are growing better. And well, maybe CO2 from rising industrial emissions may actually be detrimental to tree populations in remote wilderness areas. Could that happen? Joining me now to talk about it is William Lawrence. He's lead author on the Nature paper and a staff scientist at the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute in Panama. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Ira.
Tell us about last time we spoke, we had a discussion about rainforest deforestation with a bit of a focus on the Brazilian government policy on development, new roads and the like. You seem to have to change your tack a little bit here. What's going on?
Well, I think the big surprise is that we found that not only were, you know, forests that were being fragmented and logged and burned being drastically modified, but the big surprise to us was that this recent finding that that apparently undisturbed forests that were not being affected by any kind of detectable disturbance at all, not even any kind of low-level hunting pressure, apparently are changing, and changing quite dramatically. And by that we mean over about the last 20 years or so, we've seen changes in some of the most abundant tree species in the forests, and fundamental changes in the dynamics of the forests and changes in the growth rate of the forest. It seems to be quite a pervasive change that's sweeping right through the forest ecosystem.
Give us some idea of the details that you're talking about.
Well, we seem to be seeing three main kinds of changes. The first change is that about 90% of the trees that we've looked at have shown an acceleration in their growth rates, and that means when we compare the growth rates during the 1990s with the rates in the 1980s, that they actually increased substantially over time. The second thing is that the rates at which trees are dying and also recruiting into the population, the rate at which new trees are coming into the population, have also both increased significantly. So the whole tree population, the whole tree community is turning over more rapidly. And the third thing is that there's changes in the tree communities. In particular, it seems to be that the largest trees, the large canopy and emergent trees, are becoming ever more dominant in the forest. And there's a whole assemblage, a very diverse assemblage of trees that spend their entire lives underneath the dense rainforest canopy where it's very dark and very shady. And these trees are very specialized. They grow slowly, and they're able to flower and reproduce in the dark shade of the rainforest, which is a very special thing for plants to be able to do. They have a very unique physiology. And this group of these shade-adapted, slow-growing trees seem to be the ones that are declining most dramatically in the forest. And we don't have any direct experimental evidence indicating that its carbon dioxide increases in the atmosphere, but these suite of changes seems to be very consistent with the kind of signature we would expect as a result of increasing CO2 in the atmosphere.
So the biodiversity is being forced out a bit?
Well, it's difficult to say exactly what's going to happen. I think that one could probably make a value judgment and say we tend to judge natural ecosystems as of being higher value, and of course we're trying to set aside some areas of the Amazon basin and some areas in the tropics as national parks and reserves. And really what this work is suggesting is, if this hypothesis is correct, it suggests that even the most remote areas on the planet Earth are still going to be suffering some kinds of changes as a result of human activity. And tropical rainforests in general tend to be very complex ecologically. I mean, you just don't find any more biologically diverse and ecologically complex real estate anywhere on the planet. And so because of the complex interrelationships between plants and the animals that pollinate them and disperse their fruits and seeds, and all the herbivorous insects and other animals that feed on them, the animals that nest inside the trees, and the specialized fungi that have relationships with the tree's root systems, because of this very complex web of ecological interactions, it's just almost impossible to imagine that we'd have these kind of forest-wide changes in the tree community and not also be seeing important changes in the animal communities as well.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. We're talking with William Lawrence, who has studied and released a paper in Nature on the possible effects of greenhouse gases like CO2 on the rainforests. How do you know it's that? Have you ruled out other things that might be causing it?
Well, we've considered a range of possibilities, and the bottom line is CO2 seems to be the most plausible explanation, but we can't absolutely rule out any other particular cause. We just don't seem it just does not seem to be very probable. There's no evidence of any forest fires in the area, any kind of large-scale fires from which the forest could be recovering. In fact, studies of the soils and of the charcoal in the soil suggest that there haven't been any major fires there for over 4,000 years. There's simply no hunting, no logging, no kind of major land use change occurring in the region. El Nino droughts are a possibility because we've had some pretty severe El Nino droughts in the 1980s and 1990s, and it's conceivable that that could lead to some changes like this. But when we look at the species of trees that we believe are the most drought tolerant, we don't find any increase in those over time. So that doesn't seem to be consistent with that kind of change. We've also looked at other kinds of subtle changes in weather patterns and rainfall patterns to see whether or not there might be long-term changes in rainfall or some other kind of parameter, wet season rainfall, dry season rainfall, different kinds of weather parameters. And we just simply can't find anything that seems to correlate nearly as well as the notion that there's some kind of fundamental increase in forest productivity that's leading to these pervasive changes in the tree communities. And it seems to be, as far as we can tell, the best explanation is increasing carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
What kinds of trees are growing? Are they growing taller and faster, or you know, are they hardwoods? What kinds of trees are we talking about?
Yeah, pretty much all the trees in the rainforest are hardwoods, and so these tend to be big trees. So they're canopy trees and emergent trees, and they tend to be some of the more aggressive species. Generally speaking, the faster growing species are doing better, and this is also consistent with various kinds of experiments which have been done, which have shown that when you in a lab situation, if you increase this carbon dioxide in the air, the faster growing plants tend to do better, and the slower growing plants tend to do worse. And this is just the general kind of response that you find. And so, again, what we're seeing in the field seems to be consistent with this interpretation.
Let's go to the phones. Brian in Raleigh, North Carolina. Hi, Brian.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. My question is, have any other studies been performed in the United States or in the world that also show this kind of increase in growth rates? Because you typically see with carbon dioxide generation also an increase in carbon deposition in the overall global carbon cycle. And I'll take my answer off the air.
Thanks. Okay, thanks.
Okay. Yeah, there have been some studies. There have been some experimental studies. I'm not completely up to speed on all the temperate studies. I'm better on the tropical work. But, for example, there's been studies at Duke University where they've got a large experiment there where they're actually increasing the carbon dioxide to natural forests outdoors. And they've been finding some very interesting increases in tree growth rates, very much as you would expect. In general, there's some evidence which suggests, as I understand it, that some forests are temperate forests are in fact growing faster now. But it's sometimes hard to disentangle that from land use changes over time.
Yeah.
In the Amazon, there is different kinds of evidence which are pretty much consistent with our results. There's been a large scale study of tree growth rates in the plots scattered across the Amazon, and most of the plots are showing increased growth rates, although so far, prior to our study, nobody had looked at the changes in the tree composition. And there's also some work which suggests that the forests are becoming, in other parts of the Amazon, more dynamic over time. Part of the problem is that there's not a lot of these plots around. I mean, our plots have been there in the central Amazon for almost a quarter of a century now, and there's just a handful of studies around the world in the tropics that have been running for that long and in sort of a large enough scale to give one confidence in the results.
Mm-hmm. Do the people in the area of the Amazon that you're studying, do they look at this as a positive or a negative thing or something they could take advantage of?
Well, I think people right now are just sort of really starting to think about this more seriously and really wondering what's going on. I mean, you know, if in fact this interpretation is correct, it's got some pretty interesting implications for, I mean, I think it's surprising a lot of people to think that even large, you know, intact tracts of tropical rainforest may be being altered. And so the question then becomes, what does this really mean for the forest over the long term? One of the points that's of global significance is that there's an increasing body of evidence that as a result of the increased growth of the Amazon rainforest, that the Amazon may be acting as a substantial carbon sink And by that, we mean that it's absorbing more carbon from the atmosphere. Basically, you know, plants are using carbon dioxide from the air as they're photosynthesizing, and so they're locking up carbon from the atmosphere. And so it's thought that every hectare of forest, which is about the size of two football fields, that every hectare of forest might be absorbing perhaps as much as a ton of carbon out of the atmosphere each year. And if you multiply that by the 500 million hectares of forest, or that's about 1.2 billion acres of forest in the Amazon, you end up with a pretty big carbon sink. It suggests that Amazonian rainforest could be absorbing substantial fraction of the greenhouse gases that humans are producing, about as much as Europe is producing right now, for example. If in fact that's happening, we think that the changes in the tree communities that we're documenting now would actually tend to counter that, because some of the trees, as the trees' growth rate increases, the density of the wood in the trees tends to decline, and that decline means that the trees are storing less carbon. And so this could perhaps not stop, but it could tend to counteract or slow down this carbon sink effect. So it's another line of evidence which really suggests to us that this is not a good thing. This is a bad thing happening to the forest.
You know, when we've talked about the possible effects of CO2 and growth of trees over the years, and I've always under the impression that the younger, faster-growing trees would be the ones that would make better use of the CO2. But you're saying just the opposite. It's the bigger trees that...
Young trees in an open in a pasture or something might in fact do quite well, but this is a mature tropical rainforest, which is a very competitive environment. Mm-hmm. And this kind of environment, it's really the big trees which have the access to the sunlight. We had expected, in fact, to see pioneer trees, which are the trees that come in, the very fast-growing trees that come in when you get a tree fall gap in the forest, to increase, and it was quite a surprise to us, in fact, not to see the increase in pioneers, and we're not really sure why that's going on. One possible explanation may be that most of the trees that are dying are smaller trees, according to our data. These are the shade-adapted trees in the forest understory, and so when they die, they don't make much of a gap in the forest canopy, and so the pioneer species need a large gap in the forest mm-hmm. canopy in order to establish themselves and start growing. So when we're talking about the big trees, this doesn't include all of the large trees. In fact, it's including mainly the fastest growing big trees. So these are large and aggressive trees that are really dominating the forest and seem to be becoming even more dominant.
Are we talking about the animals that might live in the smaller trees also going away, the other wildlife?
Definitely a possibility. Some of these trees in the understory have got very, very specialized relationships with their pollinators. Some of these rely on hummingbirds and on hummingbird moths and other kinds of pollinators. Many of the animals in the rainforest, particularly the insects, are very specialized in terms of the plants that they'll eat. Some species will feed only on a single species of plant, and it's because in the rainforest, it's such an intense environment with such intense biological forces that the plants have evolved a whole array of complex chemical compounds and poisons and toxins to defend themselves. And so for the insects, they have to become, you know, physiologically specialized to feed on just a particular type of plant or just a few closely related plants in order to digest and assimilate those, to be able to handle those poisons. And so the rainforest actually has a very complex food web, and it's impossible to imagine large-scale changes in the tree communities occurring without correlated changes in the animal communities.
Well, Dr. Lawrence, we'll keep track of this. We want to thank you for taking time to talk with us today.
Thanks. My pleasure, Ira.
William Lawrence is the lead author on the Nature paper describing the rainforest changes in Amazon there, and he is a staff scientist at the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute in Panama. We're going to take a short break, switch gears a little bit. When we come back, we're going to talk about the earliest hominids. What's the story about the changing views of where we came from? So stay with us. We'll be right back after this break.